Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Campionato di calcio italiano.
Hello and welcome to the Forza Italian Football Podcast. Quite belatedly this week, but after some technological issues, we are finally live and it feels brilliant. Joining me this week as ever is Vito Doria. Vito, welcome along.
Yeah, thank you, Connor. Unfortunately, we're here in tragic circumstances, but hopefully we can do justice this week.
Yeah, and well, that kind of brings me nicely on to our next guest, Vieri Capretta. It's been a long time since we spoke. As good as it is to speak to you again, the circumstances that reunite us are less than fortunate.
Yeah, hello, everybody. Good to be back on the pod. Of course, it is. It's been a long day for every lover of Italian football, and more so if you're linked to Florence and Fiorentina, of course. For Davide Astori passing away, and it's one of the reasons that brings me to the podcast. I would have hoped for something different for me to be here, but that's the case. And obviously, the day's been surreal, totally different to any other Sunday, totally different to what we expected with so many big games today that obviously didn't take any place.
Yeah, well, look, that's what I was thinking coming on to this, because usually, before every round of fixtures even starts, I'm kind of looking ahead at the fixtures, thinking to the pod, and trying to kind of predict where the big stories from the weekend are going to come from. What games do I need to watch, pay more attention to than others? Sometimes games just jump out at you, like the Derby would any other weekend, but not so much this weekend, because some weekends they're not that obvious. This weekend looked like it was going to be one of those tough weekends. We had Lazio playing Juve, Napoli playing Roma, and of course the Derby, and it was going to be a difficult one. Then Dybala did what he did. The decision looked easy. Napoli got smashed. It got a little more difficult, and that was before the Derby had even taken place. And then you wake up this morning and you hear what you hear, and your immediate thoughts, Vieri, you touched on this and something you wrote was, is this true? Because we see so often these fake news stories going around. From an Irish perspective, we had it countless times with Liam Miller, who has sadly since passed away as well. And then it became apparent that Davide Astori had passed on. Vieri, do you want to share your thoughts here?
Well, exactly. Obviously, today's is a big day in Italy because we have our general elections. So from a very personal point of view, I can tell you how I found out about the Astori passing away. Well, essentially, I went to vote this morning, and then when I came out of the ballot, I got a message in my group with other Florentine journalists, and they were all saying, "Well, we got this message from Udine, from a policeman who obviously had known of Astori's death, and none of us could really believe it. Everyone was like, "Well, it must be someone who's just, you know, being a bit stupid with some silly joke." Then someone else did say in our group, "Well, why would they bring in someone like Astori and not a politician or a bigger name in football?" So within 20 minutes, we found out it had actually happened. We rang the press officers of Fiorentina, and then obviously within half an hour, there was an official post online on the Fiorentina website, and that's all the official procedure. Obviously, what we cannot really grasp is, well, getting to grips with what actually happened, and even just the Fiorentina staff finding out this morning. When obviously we found out through various reports that all the Fiorentina players were about to have their usual match day breakfast at 9:30. And Astori, being the captain and being the kind of charismatic leader he was in the changing room, he was always one of the first ones to turn up, especially on match day. And he didn't turn up. They tried to call him in multiple ways. And then they obviously had to break through into his bedroom and find out that he had passed away for something we now know it's natural reasons. We know it's a cardiac arrest. We don't know what actually caused it, and it will be one of the things we should find out in the next days. But everything is just totally unbelievable from my point of view, and for everyone who does follow Italian football and Fiorentina so closely.
Yeah, but we probably should say from the top that all of today's games were postponed as a result, which is absolutely the right call, because there would have been players, fans, even coaches involved in every match that would have known Astori personally. So the decision makes perfect sense. I always find with this sort of thing, it's those little real details that really get to you, because you hear that a player that you've never met has passed away. Well, I've never met Vieri. I'm sure you've shared a conversation with him before, and you don't think about it. And then it's that detail that he's not down for breakfast when he's usually the first one there. And then people start to wonder what's going on. And at no point would it have crossed any of those people's minds that they were never going to speak to their captain again. And the real details about, they haven't just lost the club captain, but many of them have lost a good friend. There's a 2-year-old girl now who has lost her father. And obviously his partner, who is without Davide. It's tragic. Vito, have you got anything to add on this?
It just seems so sudden with the timing of it all. And when you hear stories like this, sometimes you suspect foul play, because he was only 31 years old, and it's a tragic way to die and a tragic time to pass away, you know, at such a young age. So to hear that news, for me, I was in complete shock. I mean, I thought, this is surreal. This can't be happening. I suppose that happens when either famous people or when young people pass away. So it really took a while to sink in. And then once the reports filtered out that he actually passed away and that the games were going to be cancelled, that's the realization that this was no fake news, or this was not something just to gather attention. Like Vieri said, why would you do it about someone like Astori? Probably you do it about someone more controversial, more famous. But yeah, it was a real, real shock.
Yeah, and it later came out then today that he was about to sign a new contract at Fiorentina. And it almost feels strange to talk about it in footballing terms again, but he was supposed to sign his new deal last Thursday, but because of the weather conditions, it was postponed until tomorrow, which is Monday. And he was going to sign a new deal at the club there. Vieri, I've praised you off air for this, but I want to do it publicly on air. You wrote a fantastic tribute, a beautifully and delicately written piece, just a tribute to Davide Astori, the man, the footballer, everything. And I do recommend everyone that's listening to this that has an interest in Italian football, even if you don't, just go and read Vieri's piece, because it is brilliant. And myself and Vito were praising you before you managed to find your way into this conversation. So really good job on that.
Thank you. I wouldn't call him someone I've met profoundly, of course, but I had the chance to speak to him a couple of times, literally just hi and goodbye and a couple of voice clips for interviews. But he was a genuinely nice guy. And it's easy to say it about someone who's passed away. It's often the case. But I've been hearing this kind of sentence all day from people who are a lot closer to him than I've ever been. But he was a genuinely nice guy. He was a leader. He was someone people listened to, and someone who listened to people as well. He was good to learn. And so it was, you know, it made his teammates and coaches and journalists very comfortable around him. So it is a big loss, not just in purely technical terms, but generally speaking, it's a human being who passed away at this age, and it feels any sort of tribute is never really enough, but it's just life that's so unpredictable.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it always feels wrong and often cold-hearted to move from something like this into football, but at the end of the day, that's why we are all here. So I think it's probably time to move on to the games that did take place this weekend. But final thoughts, really, just our condolences go out to everyone who knew Davide Astori, Fiorentina fans, his family, everyone connected to the club and the man. He's definitely someone who's been taken too soon. But if we're going to talk about the football then, guys, I guess the best place to start is with yesterday's game between Lazio and Juventus, because it looked for quite a while here as if it was going to be quite a good weekend for Napoli. And then Paolo Dybala stepped up in the 93rd minute, whatever it was, and produced an absolute moment of magic, and Napoli's weekend went downhill from there. Vito, the title race is in Juventus's hands again, isn't it?
A lot would suggest that the momentum is certainly in their favour, because, well, usually when Juve regains these kind of leads, it's hard for them to lose it. Fortunately, with the ladder as it stands at the table, Juve do have a game in hand, and they're still 1 point behind Napoli, but a lot of people just assume that once everyone has the same quota, same amount of games, Juve will just surge ahead. So, unfortunately for us as neutrals, the momentum is in their favour.
Vieri, Paolo Dybala hasn't always been available for Juventus, but when he can produce what he did on Saturday, they've got to be seen as favourites, really, haven't they? How important do you think his return to fitness and selection is going to be for the Bianconeri?
Absolutely, hugely important. I cannot believe that a lot of commentators and pundits were saying that when Matuidi was injured, he was the main man missing for Juventus. For example, that was something that was brought up a lot when Juve got that 2-2 result at home against Tottenham. And I just thought to myself, surely it's got to be Dybala, the main man missing here, because he's the one that wins games on his own. As much as Matuidi is a very important midfielder, especially when Juve play with three-man midfield, Dybala is the kind of player that wins a game on his own. And we saw that against Lazio. Incredibly. I mean, nobody expected that goal. Nobody. I don't think Allegri did. Nobody in the team. And you saw that in the celebration from the whole of the Bianconeri. So, well, Paolo Dybala, we saw that. We saw him at the start of the season. He's back now. They did miss him a lot. And he could be the one to bring the title to Juve.
Yeah, it kind of had that feel after about, I don't know, 65, 70 minutes of one of those games where Juve don't quite play at their best. They come up against a stubborn and strong opposition, but they just grind out that win. But then I was doing the report for this game, and as you guys both know from doing reports that you submit on the final whistle, you generally start putting it all together and putting the final touches on it with about 5-10 minutes left. And I put it off as much as I could because I was just thinking, no, Juve will score here. As soon as I start writing that introduction, Juve score. And I put it off until the 91st minute. And then I thought, okay, this is safe now. Lazio have actually held out for a draw, structured it all, and then bang, Paulo Dybala steps up and does that. But it's predictable, frustrating, but even as much as you predict it, they still continue to find ways to surprise you. It's ridiculous. Vito, I'll bring you back in, because one thing that really stood out for me during this game was Stefan Lichtsteiner is seriously past his best. And I know we should probably be praising Juventus, but if they are to win the Scudetto this year, they need to find a way to limit his involvement or at least protect him a little bit more, because he looked out of his depth against Jordan Lukaku.
Yeah, he did. Lukaku was very rapid, and there were moments where Lukaku's ball control was very good. So he wasn't just all about, you know, pace and directness. Lichtsteiner looked like he was on his way out about a summer or two ago, but he's still at the club. And I think that's why it's important that Matteo Di Ciglio needs to have, you know, more playing time or better run with fitness. If Di Ciglio is the first choice right back now, Juve are in a better place. But I think, you know, when Lichtsteiner is playing, it shows that Juve do have those signs of decline, because the team is aging and Lichtsteiner is not the player that he once was, especially during the Antonio Conte era.
No, I did say that we should probably praise Juventus, but Vieri, I don't know about you, I can't really think of any new ways to praise them, because we've been doing it for, what, 6-7 years in a row now. Have you got anything new to say about them?
Well, just look at the game. They win scrappy games. We've said that a lot of times about Juventus. And Napoli against Roma, obviously, weren't at their best, but they collapsed mentally hugely. Now, of course, we need to praise Juventus and not talk badly about Napoli just yet. but obviously, that Dybala goal, it's almost like he scored it against Napoli as well. It's that ability that Juve have of doing the right thing at the right time, which, you know, in a way has made much more of a difference than just that result. Scoring that goal in that moment after playing so badly or so average, let's say, against Lazio, has done a double effect, giving them the win and helping Napoli then, you know, have that mental fragility against Roma. So I think if there's another praise we can bring to Juve is knowing when to get that extra magic on the pitch and get the crucial wins in the season. And we saw it this year, the past 6 years, as you said.
Yeah, well, they never know when they're beaten, do they? Which you can't really say for Napoli, given the weekend's evidence. But I still do think we should give some sort of praise to Lazio, because they were quite good. The first half in particular, they basically went toe-to-toe with Juventus and looked to get at them and looked to win the game. Then the second half, it seemed like they were more happy to just take a point and not be beaten. But they probably could have taken it to Juve a bit more, but you can kind of understand them settling for the point. Vito, were you impressed, or is this just what we should expect from Lazio?
Look, I'm going to sit on the fence a bit and say a bit of both. In a way, I don't think we can expect Lazio to beat Juventus convincingly. Mind you, that Lazio have got results against Juve in the Super Cup and in the league before. So one would have assumed that the Biancocelesti could have got at least a draw out of it or even the win. My concern would have been just Lazio's finishing, perhaps. Usually they would have scored a few of those chances that they created. But Gianluigi Buffon, I thought he did well coming off his line, made some good saves. So although in general, I think Buffon's showing signs of decline, especially in big games, I thought this was one of those days where he showed that class is permanent, and it shows that, you know, he will have those games where he can show that the Buffon of old still can be appearing here and there.
Yeah, there was a moment, I think it was Immobile was going through and Buffon came out off his line, and I just had flashbacks of against Atalanta when he came out and didn't quite get there, and Papu Gomez hit the post, against Spurs when he came out and Harry Kane knocked it past him and scored. And this is not something you usually associate with Buffon. Usually he fancies himself to just stay in his line and stop the shot, but it seems like he's been panicking or something in recent weeks by trying to cut out the danger early and not just backing himself to do his job when the striker gets the shot off. I want to talk about Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, Vieri, because I think it's only fair. We've praised him when he's been brilliant at times this season, but people have been putting a price tag on him of 100. I've even seen 200 million euro put on his head in recent weeks, which to get that sort of price tag put on him, does he not need to dominate games like this, especially when Juventus's midfield isn't quite what it was when Sami Khedira isn't on form?
I think there's two things to say there. Well, the first one is that price tags now where they are pretty, you know, inflated anyway. So you can buy a Mohamed Salah for 40 million and then, you know, with they won't sell Coutinho for 120. So I wouldn't use the price tag as an excuse for Milinkovic-Savic. What I would say is that he's been playing a lot and constantly, and he has always really intense games. And Lazio have played 120 minutes on Wednesday, so it was always going to be tough for them to come into this game very fresh. Against Milinkovic-Savic, I have to say he's become more and more sloppy in the past couple of months. He always is a bit like the worst Paul Pogba at Juventus. You know he can be that technical as well as so physically dominant, but there's no need for them to do it. You know, that extra back heel, that extra flick, that is completely unnecessary and often even a bit frustrating when you're watching them. So the similarities between the two are obviously huge, and this is one of them. You need to be more focused on getting the result in terms of getting the goals, getting the assists. When Milinkovic-Savic will do that, he'll be one of the top three midfielders in the world. That's why he's still just Milinkovic-Savic and at Lazio and not, you know, a Paul Pogba at Manchester United or that kind of category. But he's got everything that takes to become a top midfielder. He just needs to grow that final step mentally, and that means you know, avoid all the useless stuff and focus on the game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Do you want to move on to Napoli-Roma then? Because I'm quite torn on this. Napoli obviously were beaten 4-2 at home, and it was a strange one because they went 1-0 up after 3 minutes, I think, maybe five, but they didn't quite look at it, and they did look like they had taken a bit of a mental battering from seeing Juve win in the circumstances that they did. Vieri, are you seeing this as a Napoli collapse, or are you more willing to give praise to Roma?
Well, I would love to give praise to Roma because I think they've been missed in recent months, but it's more of a Napoli collapsing because the fans were celebrating before the game started, not knowing the final result from the Lazio-Juve game, and then they found out, and obviously that was depressing for everyone. And Napoli went ahead in that game against Roma. I think it showed fragility, mentally speaking, that they were so keen on getting out of the Coppa Italia, getting out of the Europa League, just to focus on Serie A. That shows they haven't made that final step into becoming a top team. And maybe Maurizio Sarri has made all his calculations that he needs to play one game a week for the team to do their very best and have a proper shot at winning the title. That's the case, obviously, in his calculations. But a top team does not get knocked out like they did against Atalanta and against Leipzig. It's just not what you do. And I think the repercussions of being knocked out in those games were visible against Roma. The moment Napoli conceded the equalizer just a minute after scoring the opening goal, they were out of the game. They stopped playing completely. The 2-1 killed it off, and that you can't afford to do that. You can't afford to against a Roma that was so struggling in recent months, to not react. You know, you can lose the game, but you don't lose it 4-1, 4-2.
Yeah, 4-2 was kind of generous for them as well because they did get that goal in
in the final minutes.
Yeah, the game was done, and it was a great strike from Mertens, but I think Alisson had probably clocked off by that point. You mentioned Sarri. We're going to come to him in a minute. Vito, do you think that the Napoli players, if they're serious about this Scudetto pact that they've been so public with, If they're seriously challenging for the Scudetto this year, should they be allowing a Juventus result to so obviously deflate them and get in their heads? Vito, what do you think?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It should deflate them. It should not get them down. In fact, it should make them even more tougher, more resilient, as well as give them the desire to prove everyone wrong, that they're not just a team that plays beautiful football. They can get results with that football. And in Italy in particular, where they are so preoccupied with results, for a team like Napoli to win in style would really send a huge message. Unfortunately, losing to Roma was a big blow. One thing I really found concerning was they weren't as efficient as they usually are. Usually the passing is far more precise, far more accurate, and they penetrate a lot more. The passing this time looked a bit casual or a bit sloppy and probably not as inventive. It seemed that even with the running, they were more sluggish, whereas Roma were far more efficient, a bit more direct, and they looked like they were playing with far more greater intensity than Giallorossi.
Yeah, one thing that, if I'm to be critical of Lorenzo Insigne specifically, that I would criticize him for is that once he gets frustrated, he kind of turns into a bit of a child because he just starts shooting from 20, 25 yards every time. And it drives me mad because personally, I want to see Napoli win the Scudetto this year. I've been quite vocal about that. But Vieri, why does he keep doing this? Why hasn't that been drilled out of him yet? Especially with the way this Sarri team play.
Because I think it's not just a problem for him, it's a problem for, it reflects the whole team. If they're not at their best with their passing, and as Vito was very right, they weren't the other night, it's difficult to understand how Napoli not doing as well as usual and Roma just pressing very well and defending very well. It's a bit of both, I gather. But Insigne obviously gets frustrated because he can't have that same kind of usual, fresh and fluid play with his teammates. And he just, as you said, he just starts shooting. And that probably shows there are limits for this Napoli side, obviously, and especially in the individual players. They do their best as a team. And I think it's fair to say that if you take the players individually in each position, you would pick most of them from Juventus rather than Napoli. I think that's a given. And there's reasons why Insigne still hasn't been the kind of winning player we all expect him to be. And one of his limits is clearly mentally, and if he's not at his best, when seeing his teammates doing what they all do best all together as an 11, he is frustrated and he does try and solve every problem on his own. And it's clearly not the best thing for this Napoli side. Whereas Juventus needs Dybala to score that goal, Napoli needs the whole team to go forward as a single unit, and it didn't happen against Roma.
Maurizio Sarri, then I backed his kind of decision to almost throw every other competition from the Coppa Italia to the Europa League to focus on the Scudetto, but it doesn't look like it's going to bear any fruit because, right, one thing, I want to get into Sarri's head here because he was so adamant that he was going to play a second team in the Europa League. And then was it Allegri said something saying, oh, if you want to be winners, you need to compete on more than one front, blah, blah, blah. And people got a bit critical of Sarri. And it seems like he's given in because he then went on and played a strong team in the second leg of their Europa League game against Leipzig, despite completely throwing the first. And he was moaning back in January about the fact that Juventus would play most of their games before Napoli would, despite that being their own fault for getting knocked out of the Champions League. And it really makes me question his mentality. Vito, do you think that Sarri has kind of been getting the excuses in early and almost handing them to his players on a silver plate?
It's come to the point that he has been providing too many excuses, and it's not the way to go if he really wants this Napoli team to win. They have the tactics, the style of play, but I guess it's that mental strength that's been lacking. And there are some mixed reviews and opinions about Napoli juggling competitions. And in a way, I think it was right that they focused more on the Scudetto because of a lack of depth. But I think the way things stand now, it's not looking good. And if they don't win the title, then it clearly shows that Sarri lacks that winning mentality. Because really, Napoli, as beautiful as they play, they got to develop this mindset of winning at all costs. They're not going to always win every single game with style and score 5 or 6 goals. I don't want them to be like Juventus and win ugly constantly, because I think a lot of people, aside from the Juventini, are just sick of that. And it's a bad image for Italian football. But Napoli need to just keep their heads up, you know, keep playing their style of football. And even when it doesn't work, you know, learn to fight, grind it out, do the dirty work when necessary, and get the points, because it's come to the point now for Sarri and for that Napoli squad, they got to get results. They got to add to the silverware cabinet.
CM Fox has come in the comments and quite beautifully put it. Napoli have put all their eggs in one basket. Now it's turned out to be more of a cheap supermarket plastic bag than a basket, and it is ripped and the eggs are smashed all over the floor. I wouldn't quite go that far yet, but Napoli, right?
What an analogy.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I felt it needed to be read out. I found myself getting very irritated after this game because people were so quick to act genius and praise Juventus for winning the 7th straight Scudetto. This Napoli team have shown over the last year that they are an astonishing team on their day, and they have picked up more points than Juventus since the beginning of, 2017 it would be. And as things stand, they are still on track to pick up 97 points at the current points per game average. And the max they can get is 102, I think. I think that could be wrong. But if we look at the points, the Serie A points winning tallies over the last few years, with the exception of that freak season that Juve had in 2013-14 when they got 102 points, the most they've reached is 91. So are we being ridiculous to criticise Napoli because they are on track to have a record-breaking season, not just for them, but for Serie A, and they might still come up short? Vieri, what do you think?
Well, two things on that. The first one is that every club is doing now is record-breaking. And it's been the case for a couple of years, and that's because the bottom teams are just too bad. So watch out with the record-breaking bit of things. One thing that has to be said about Napoli, and I think there's no reason to criticize them for what they're doing in Serie A. I disagree with putting all the eggs in the same basket, because I would have tried my best in the Europa League, because I think it's a great trophy to try and win. But the decision has been made. But let's not forget, everything regarding Serie A is still in Napoli's hands. If Napoli win in Turin and win every other game, you know, it's not like they have to win in Turin and hope that Juventus make another mistake. They're still within reach in the direct clash at the Juventus stadium. So it's not over yet. Let's put it that way. That game will feel a lot like a final. If both teams win all the other games, but that's still the Scudetto title race is still in Napoli's hands, and Napoli have everything to win it, and they've proved it, as you said, in terms of points. I just think Juventus are favourites. I think they've been since the start of the season, rightly so, in terms of their spending power, their how they're used to win and their winning mentality. So it is tough to beat this Juventus side, and we've seen it for the past 6 years. So it's not an easy thing for Napoli to do, but they've got everything to do it, and if they win in Turin, they can still get that Scudetto.
Yeah, absolutely. My main problem was that people were talking about Napoli all of a sudden as if they were Bologna, and they had no chance of catching.
That always happens with the mentality Vito was talking about you need to get results in it, and it's the whole debate depends on results, and people should have a bit more balance in their judgments, that's for sure.
Well, Juve still have, what, 12 games left to play, and there's no way they don't drop any more points between now and then. I know they're more than capable of doing it, but there's just absolutely no way they win every single game between now and the end of the season. Right, guys, I'm done with the top two. Just if I can get predictions, who's going to win the league, Vieri?
I'm going to say Juventus again. I've been saying it since the start of the season, but of course I wouldn't mind Napoli doing so.
Vito, are you sticking with Napoli, or?
For the time being, I'm going to stick with Napoli, and that's only because I think Juve have some tough games. Okay, for Juventus, they're more than capable of winning them, but I think that with the way AC Milan has been rejuvenated under Gennaro Gattuso, I wouldn't rule the Rossoneri out of that clash. So I still think that's winnable, and yeah, I'm just hoping for that miracle that, you know, in the last year or two, Napoli has actually gone to Turin and beat Juventus, so maybe they can do it again, who knows? And this one is really out of left field, but I'm really hoping for a result like in 2013 when Sampdoria back in Serie A, they went down to 10 men.
Here he goes.
Mauro Icardi scored 2 goals to beat Juventus. If Sampdoria can create a miracle like that, that would cause headlines around the world, and you'll see me in a more chirpier mode than usual. That's for sure.
They still have to play.
We can only hope.
They still have to play the boys from Bergamo as well, so remember that. Sure. Atalanta will go to Turin and take a point, unless Juve get given an invisible penalty again, but let's not go there. Vieri, we've spoken a lot about a bit about the relegation fight, and Spal got a huge win in the Emilia-Romagna derby against Bologna, and I believe you commentated on this. I think we might be the only two people outside of Italy that actually watched this game. I was quite impressed with Spal, but it's nothing new because they've been all right this season. And what are your thoughts on their survival chances then, now that they're out of the bottom three?
Spal are a very solid side. I've been, since I'm quite a junior in my commentating career, I always get the bottom side. So I've become almost a Benevento expert. I've been commentating on it at every win by Benevento. And what I can say about them is that they're a bit random in the way they play. Spal are the exact opposite. Spal perhaps have less magic to their Serie A campaign so far, but they're very solid, and they really know what they're doing on the pitch. The players, they play that 3-5-2 formation, 2 strikers. You can see the movements, the way the wingers find space. It's well worked during the week, and you see that Leonardo Semplici's work translates on the pitch week in, week out. They struggle to score for how much they produce. They only got 1 goal, and it was Alberto Grassi, a product of the Atalanta in recent years. He got a fantastic goal, and that won it for them. But if Mattia Destro got that equalizer in the final minutes, then, you know, they'd be still struggling to get those points. So I think Spal, compared to the other teams down there, they deserve it more than anyone else. They deserve it more than Verona, who've been playing completely random for the whole season. Benevento, who, yeah, and I'd love Benevento to stay up, but I'm not sure they deserve it as such. And I think even Crotone have shown overall that they've been struggling more than Spal. The thing with Spal is that they need to be more efficient up front, and they need to also start getting a bit more results away from home. They did beat Crotone last week, and that was a very big win. But of course, they'll be playing Sassuolo next week, and that will be absolutely huge because obviously Sassuolo now are back in it. So, yeah, I mean, it's really difficult to say because everyone's so close to each other that, you know, you got a couple of wins in a row and you're back out of it.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of fans of Spal on this. We backed them in their promotion process last season and we've all kind of kept an eye on them. This, I've watched them more times than I probably should have, including a game that I went to when they played Verona and somehow found themselves 2-0 down. But then in that Semplici way, they looked solid at the back and they knew exactly what they were doing going forward. But one thing we've joked about on this before is that they've kind of put together a bit of an Atalanta B team in some of the players they've signed. But that will stand to them because these are players who have been involved in relegation fights before and come out on the right end of it. And I just think that they've got a squad that is probably, I don't want to say it because how often do you hear it said about teams that go down, but they've got a squad that is probably too good to go down because they are probably worthy of finishing in a mid-table place. And if they can get through this first season in Serie A, I don't see why they can't finish in a nice 10th, 11th position next season, given the amount of rubbish that is in that bottom half of Serie A. Vito, it's hard to really comment too much on how it's taken shape down there, but Spal are now out of the relegation zone, obviously level with Sassuolo in 16th and just 2 points off Chievo in 14th. And Chievo were due to play Sassuolo this weekend, which would have been huge. Crotone were supposed to be away at Torino, who are now, or Crotone rather, are 18th. So it's definitely interesting down there. I'm thinking Sassuolo are going to fall into that bottom three with Verona and Benevento. What are your thoughts?
Hard to disagree with you on that one, Connor. On paper, you'd think Verona would go down with Benevento, and Sassuolo don't look like they're going to turn a corner anytime soon. As I mentioned last week, they need Berardi and Politano to provide a lot more assists and goals, but not enough of their play is constructive. And it seems that Beppe Iacchini has not improved the team since that honeymoon period after he replaced Christian Bucchi. Spal, I reckon, are more than capable of surviving. And it was good that Grassi scored because it goes to show that at least someone can chip in with the goals. Otherwise, I felt, as I was saying last week, that there would be a lot of dependence on Paloschi and Antenucci needing to score the goals. So if Grassi can score a volley like that a few more times, that would help. And yeah, it'd be good if Viviani can provide some of his free kicks because he actually knows how to hit a good free kick. It's just, you know, playing for Spal, you don't get as much attention.
Jax wants to know when the postponed games are going to take place. As far as I know, that's still to be confirmed. Correct me if I'm wrong. Looking ahead to this week, then Spurs, Juventus in the Champions League. Juve have it all to do going to Wembley, but given how they performed at the weekend and how they performed for the last 7 years in Italy, you've got the fancy of their chances. Vieri, do you think they can go through?
Well, I said before the first game that both them and Roma would have gone through somehow. I think if you look at the first leg and the result Spurs got, it's difficult for Juve to get a result and at Wembley. But what I have to say is that I think Spurs should have done a bit more for how they played. They played so well at the stadium that Tottenham should have probably tried and win that game. Juventus had the better chances overall. They could have scored a lot more goals, but Tottenham were so dominant. And I think we're going to see a similar kind of game at Wembley. But if you concede those kind of chances with Dybala and possibly Higuain back, I think Juve could get the away goals to go through. So Juve aren't as brilliant as they've perhaps been in the past, but they can be very clinical and that will make a difference against Spurs.
Yeah, it's kind of got the makings of a terrible game that is 0-0 or 1 each until the 93rd minute and then Paulo Dybala does something magic. Guys, I think we've done quite well to get this far. We've gone on for, what, 40 minutes talking about three games that took place. So I'm happy to end it there. Vito, let people know where they can find your stuff on social media. Actually, sorry, before I let you do that, Phil did comment earlier saying that he's leaving tomorrow to go to the army for a year, which is a comment I didn't expect to read from one of our usuals. So Phil, if that's true, good luck, and we'll be here waiting for you to come back in a year's time. All right, Vito, take it away. Let people know where they can find you on social media.
All right, so there's my Facebook page at Vito Doria. Then there's Instagram and Twitter, and my handle is at Vito C. Doria.
Okay, Vieri, do the same.
Yeah, catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Vieri Capretta.
Nice and easy. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Conjay Clancy, and Facebook by searching Connor Clancy. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining me and getting over that technology problem earlier on, Vieri. That was an absolute nightmare. Me and Vito thought we were going to be a two-man show again.
We managed. There's worse things in life.
Absolutely. Thanks to everyone for keeping active in the comments. You always make things easier. It's nice to know we're not just sitting here talking to ourselves. And we'll be back same time next week, hopefully on time next week for once. But there's nothing else for me to say other than ciao for now.
Atleti un solo cuore.
Oh Fiorentina, di ogni squadra ti vogliamo regina. Oh Fiorentina, combatto dunque la vita con l'amore. Per loro di conforto, di vittoria, ricorda che per calcio è tua la storia.
Viola lotta con vigore per essere di Firenze vanto e gloria, sul tuo vessillo scrivi forza e cuore e nostra sarà sempre la vittoria.
Oh Fiorentina, di ogni squadra ti voglia regina. Oh Fiorentina, combatti ovunque vita con
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.